Thank you, Father, for all these words. Amen. So tonight's teaching, are cucumbers ruining your life? So, they're not? Okay. Onions, leeks. And so tonight's teaching is going to be the war in here. And so the battle that we have in here. And we're going to be looking at examples of fleshly wars, but then reflecting onto our internal wars. And so turn to Numbers chapter 11, verse 5.
Numbers what again?
11.
11:5?
Yeah. If you get a page number, if I don't give it.
That's fine.
169.
No page numbers.
No, for brevity, I'd like it. Yeah. So, you like brief, right?
Well, no, I just, everybody knows.
I know, but you like me to get to the point, so I'm trying to keep it brief for you. would somebody read verse 5?
We remember the fish that we did eat in Egypt without money, the cucumbers and the watermelons, and the leeks and the onions and the garlic.
Okay, so here the people are murmuring against Yahweh. What are they remembering?
The good stuff.
It's easy for us to look at them and go, what a bunch of idiots. The cucumbers. Remember the cucumbers we had?
Without money.
Yeah, do you remember them throwing our babies to the crocodiles? I remember that too. Do you remember being beaten? Do you remember they had really good onions there. We ate flesh. We look at that, it looks like fools, right? What are you focusing on? Yeah. What are you thinking on? Are you thinking about what's missing? Are you thinking about empty seats in your life? Are you worried about tomorrow, your ministry, 5, 10, 15 years from now? Are you worried about your friends? Are you worried about your spouse? Are you focused on things you don't have?
Yeah.
Then you could be murmuring against Yahweh. Here they didn't have something. And Yahweh gives us discipline, 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 discipline to say, what are you focusing your mind on? Because these people were letting cucumbers destroy their lives. Why? A thought. A seed. How dangerous is a thought and a seed? People commit adultery. Pastors. Because a thought. It started with a thought. And if you don't control your thoughts and you don't rebuke things that are against the word, then you're a fool. And that's going to take root. How many ministers have committed adultery or committed extortion or took bribes, or how many people lied to their spouses or hid something and ran away? And it all started with a thought. Sexual morality. It starts with a thought. How about adultery? I didn't do anything. I didn't go anywhere. Those thoughts. Israel was talking about cucumbers until it erupted, until finally it came out manifest. What were they thinking about? They were thinking about what they did not have. And we can look in our lives, are you missing a wife? Where's my wife? Ooh, you're murmuring against Yahweh. Are you missing kids instead of focusing on what you have? Are you worried about tomorrow? The future of your ministry instead of where it is today or whatever it is? I don't know. But the objective is apply this to yourself. Where are you thinking and what are you worrying about? Because they were murmuring against Yahweh. And we would never murmur against Yahweh, not maliciously. But when we're worried about what we do not have, and tomorrow is something we do not have, then we could be murmuring against Yahweh, and it could get really bad. And we're going to look at some examples of really bad. And I had that with myself. Yahweh, this is on me. Feeling lonely. I want to be nice, have a girlfriend or a wife. And Yahweh's like, those are cucumbers. What are cucumbers? You're forgetting about the slavery. Have you forgotten what you've been through?
Yeah,
but I'm just lonely. No. You are thinking about cucumbers, forgetting about your babies being thrown to the crocodiles. Is that dangerous thinking? Absolutely. I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus Christ. And what we're going to be looking at, turn to, we won't go there. So I'm trying to keep things brief. Dad likes brevity. Get to the point. Chapter Hebrews 11. Example. We won't go there. I'm just going to reference some stuff. Hebrews 11. Yehoshua endured the death of the cross. How? The joy that was set before him. He had to control this. He is the prototype and he is the example. And you have a battle. All of us have a battle. We have the genetics of Adam and Eve in me. And for the sake of this teaching, I'm just going to call it Cain. Cain. You have Cain inside you. Now I'm not going to say all of your genetics are Cain. But there's Cain in there. There's something in there that is very wicked. That doesn't mean, oh, I got good genetics from Adam and Eve. I got eyes. I got hands. But don't be deceived. There's bad, really, really bad stuff that is inside there. Jesus Christ was able to think about this. If you knew you were getting ready to die the death of the cross, and you had perfect understanding of the scriptures, like Jesus Christ, could you sleep?
No.
Could you minister to people? Could you wash people's feet? What about my mom? Hold on a second. Oh, hey, Yehoshua. You're zoned out again. Oh, yeah. I'm okay. You're sweating again. I'm okay. I mean, what would you be doing? He knew about the next day. But what did he do? In Matthew 6, it says, worry not for tomorrow. It's not yours. You don't have it. Tomorrow shall worry for yourself. What's the next part of that scripture? Sufficient is the what? Evil. Evil thereof. It doesn't mean everything we're thinking about tomorrow, but we got to be very careful. In the investment world, when they say the word fraud, it gets everybody's attention. In my area, I don't want anything to do with that. And your thoughts could be evil to our Father. And so what we've got to do is waken up. Peter, sleeping before Herod's going to chop his head off. How did he do that? How did he do that? He had the same war. And we can relate more to Peter than we can to our Lord and Savior. How about Paul writing rejoice again in Philippians 4 while in prison? You kidding me? This dude had the toughest, next to Jesus Christ, and probably Moses, there's a couple other people, David, Jeremiah, but Paul, golly, some of the stuff this guy went through all by himself and all ages and departed. What was the profit of that? Here he is, rejoice. Wait a minute, didn't you know all of it? Asia departed? Yeah, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice again. But he did it. How did he do it? He controlled his thought. Jonah, while he was dying in the belly of a sea monster, what did he say? He rejoiced. Did you know that?
No.
I will look upon your throne. He was looking forward because once you go to sleep, he had been a servant. And he rejoiced in the Yahweh, and here's this, as he's dying, here's his last thoughts. What was he doing? He was controlling his not. Oh, me. How did he do that? And I'm going to say discipline. And if you practice discipline, you'll get better and better and better and better and better at it. Have you ever met somebody who never disciplined their dogs ever?
Yes.
Our brains are just like that. You ever been around, you go to their house, I don't want anything to do with that dog. How about people who never discipline their kids? You don't even want to be around them. They're animals, or wild animals, or monkeys and stuff. You can't trust it. They're all over the place. And our brains will do the same thing. Turn to, the psalmist, Psalm 84, verse 10. We don't have to go there. We are going to go to 2 Corinthians 11 next. But in Psalms 84, 10, these are easily said. Things that are easy to say, but let us apply it. If this teaching was all on me, and we'll come back to where I was and me getting reproved and rebuked and corrected. And like my dad says, he did a teaching here, and he said, who here likes to be corrected? And Izzy's sitting over here. He did his little thing like that. And Dad goes, well, what if you're going the wrong direction to a job interview?
Yeah.
To your wedding? To the hospital. You want to be corrected, right? And I was going the wrong direction. In my area, was it malice? No. Was it rebellion? No. And then I'm kind of going to where I got corrected about me thinking about cucumbers, leeks, and onions. But Aaron, you have no idea how dangerous some of this thinking is. But in Psalms 84:10, it says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. What does that mean? Can you control your thoughts today to be thankful for today, for what you have today, to be disciplined for tomorrow, because we are to be good stewards, but not to let you control it, not to worry about it, not to think about it, to say, that's not my problem. Can you do that today? And sometimes in my own life, I'm being very disciplined and getting a lot done, but I'm irritable to everybody that's around me. To clients, trust me, I'm really nice to clients. They pay me. But to my relatives, sometimes I'm about ready to pop. And they go, hey, you got to, what's going on here? And the thing is, can I do it today with joy? And it's a challenge for all of us. Be obedient. Is one day with Yahweh better than 1,000 else? Is it?
Yes.
We say it. But if we're not controlling our thoughts, and if you're thinking about things that are missing, family members, they're still not here, then you're not saying better than what you're thinking about what's missing instead about what Yahweh has in your life right now. What does he have in your life right now? Nick Vujicic, the Australian with no arms and no legs, an epitome of somebody who is living the life, being thankful for what he has. He's a motivational speaker. Holy moly. What has he done? Discipline, discipline, discipline. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. If somebody would read 5 and 6 for me, please.
For I reckon not to have...
2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, you're right. That's right.
For I reckon not to have come a whit behind in exceeding over much apostles.
No, it's chapter 10. Sorry, I said 11. It's chapter 10.
Necessary, therefore...
When we pull down... it's page 187...
Yeah.
Okay.
5 and 6.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, got it.
Thanks. Would you read that for me?
When we pull down calculations and every height that uplifted itself against the knowledge of...
Yahweh. Pause. What is the knowledge of Yahweh?
The Word.
It's the Word. Anything that's against the Word. Romans 8:31 says, he who spared not his only Son, how shall he not also... all things upon us in favor bestow. What are you asking for? Do you think he's withholding relationships or things? Do you think he's just holding out because he doesn't really care about you? Because you're the stepchild. He never really. You rebuke that. My life is so hard. I wish it was like everybody else's. Rebuke it. I wish I had a family to come home to. I rebuke it. And he's rebuked me. I came home and I said, hello, everybody. I was trying to be funny in my empty house. And I thought it was hilarious. I laughed. And then he rebuked me. He was like, what is that supposed to mean? It's just a joke. You know, we're in this house. You know, you think you're being funny, Aaron. But you're being ungrateful for all that we are doing right now and have done for you. Do you like your house? Oh, I love my house. Do you like your job? I love it. Do you like living in the United States down the street from your parents? I love it. Then shut your mouth. Holy cow! I didn't get drunk. I didn't look at pornography. You have a roommate. And there's a good chance if you're not getting corrected in your own thoughts, you're not tuning in. Because he's correcting us. He loves us. And it says a father corrects a child whom he is well pleased with. If he will be correcting you. He's going, don't do that. Don't do that. And we'll go to the discipline he put in my life. None of it made sense. I felt like he was picking on me and picking on me. Turn to Exodus chapter 32. My dad was really good at this. When I was growing up, I remember gleaning certain information. He said, control your thoughts. Don't think that thought. You rebuke it. You control your thoughts. Then I heard somebody else say, you control your thoughts or your thoughts control you. Psychology opens up Pandora's box to Cain. Now, is everything in that box Cain? No. You got Adam and Eve in there. There's some history. But inside that box, there's also poison. And it will kill you. And our Father, it warns us about the lust of the flesh. the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the vain grandeur of life. He's going, don't. He warns us over and over again. Would somebody read chapter 32, 25, and 26?
And Moses saw the people that unbridled they were, for Aharon had given them the rein for a whispering among their enemies. So Moses took a stand in the gate of the camp and said, who is for Yahweh to me? Then gathered unto him all the sons of Levi.
And if you keep reading, in this occurrence, I've read this so many times, but I could never apply it to myself. I'm thinking about people trying to keep you. This is what happens when you got wicked people in your life and not correcting people and this and that. And Yahweh just, he corrected me last night. What did Aharon do? What was the first thing he'd given? He saw that the people were what?
Unbridled.
Are your thoughts unbridled? You have a monster living inside you. There's an animal. You have two entities, not two people. You have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and you have the flesh. And Yahweh warned you, they will never get along. They are at war. You are in a civil war. David was born into the Philistine war. Moses, you read through Deuteronomy. It was just this year, within the last probably weeks, I read through Exodus and Deuteronomy, and I went, how come I never realized that the 40 years with Moses in the wilderness was 40 years of war? There's wanderings. He's at war the whole time. Yeah. He's got these kings or those kings, or then Korah's getting swallowed up. You got serpents, you got murmurings. And here's Moses going, holy cow, man. And wars and wars and wars. I didn't realize it. But then here, what did Aharon do? They were unbridled. And what did he give the people?
What they wanted.
The reins. If you're not controlling your thoughts, you have given your old man, Cain, the reins. Where is Cain going to take you? Well, wait a minute. All my flesh is not Cain. But for emphasis, how dangerous it can be, you're riding in a car with a drug addict. Just one out of six. What could go wrong? You don't take that risk. Because Cain, what did Cain do? Holy moly. And all of us, every once in a while, will be in a really good place at church or something, and a wicked thought comes out of nowhere. The disciples of Kenneth Hagin say that's Satan. No, I don't have any place for Satan. There is no darkness in my life. I live in light. And if I am in the light as he is in the light, there is no darkness. He can't touch me. I have withstood the adversary. I resisted him. He can't come near. So who is this adversary? You have an enemy on the inside. I have an enemy. It's the adversary or Cain. Who is it? You got to rebuke him. And what happens is, whenever it pops up, what does it mean? The gate's open. Don't freak out. Kick that thing in the face. Throw it back in the pen. Lock it up and apologize. Sorry. Wasn't ready for that. You know, it wasn't malicious, Father. Hey, get back to work. Okay, good. Not my problem, though. How'd that stupid thing get out? The pig got out again. I hate that pig. So we got it. Exodus chapter 25. Well, Aharon, what did he do? Aharon, Moses' older brother. What did he do? What did he do? If you read down in verse 28. If you give place to the adversary, and we're not talking about Satan in this teaching. Your adversary, Cain, your blood, your flesh. What's going to happen? I don't know. Do you think Aharon ever thought that 3,000 people are going to die like this?
Absolutely not.
And then what happens after that? Verse 35, and Yahweh plagued the people. Do you think that's what Aharon thought he was doing? No, Moses is just too tight. You're way too uptight. Okay, disciplinarian's out of the way. It's okay, guys. It's all right. They're like, this is, hey, we just need you to be the cool dad, or whatever it was. And he's like, all right, cool. And then what happened? Pandora's box is open. How many times in our own lives did a thought or something take us down the road? My dad did a teaching. He said, what is sin? Takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you more than you want to pay. That's our adversary. We got to, how many times he talked you into it? I remember that one time in high school or middle school, you hang out with somebody who's a lot of fun. Of course you're going to hang out with a bad person if they're a lot of fun. If they're not fun, why would you be around them, right?
Right.
But they always get you in trouble. And after three or four times, like, that's it. Can't hang out with Cain. You can. But how many times is Yahweh going to keep bailing you out? He's not a fool. That what you sow, you reap. And it could be Manasseh. 50 years later, Yahweh heard him. And it could be you, but man, these slippery slopes. Aharon unleashed the beast of Cain. 3,000 people were dead. It appeared that there were orgies. They were making sport. All these things. 2 golden calves. People were forced to drink the water. Do you think Aharon remembered all this stuff? How did he sleep that night? Because it wasn't malice. I don't think, not with Aharon. But he let it loose. Turn to Joshua chapter 7, or Yehoshua. So if you look, and you read through the scriptures, Israel, not all of Israel, but for the most part, Israel is a wild animal. There's good people that are in there. But if you read the rebellions over and over and over, and what happens as soon as the prophet dies?
You go back.
What happens once the judge dies?
Same thing.
What happens? What do they do? You're going to go, holy moly. And a way of thinking about it is, what do you think would happen if mom and dad, we're going to go on a 3-month vacation, and left their 15-year-olds at the house with a credit card. All right. Okay. But the thing is, here's Joshua in chapter 7, verse 10. Yehoshua, Achan, Achan had a sin. 36 people died when they went to Ai. If you read the chapter 6, Yehoshua rips his clothes, which is real important, because who didn't rip his clothes? Achan. Achan didn't rip his clothes. Because I used to read it. I used to feel sorry for Achan and his family. I want to go digress for just a second. You hear about Achan and all his family being stoned?
Yeah.
Okay. When I first learned that, I was like, dang, his family too? And the teaching, and I'm grateful for the teaching. It's easy for me to stand on somebody else's shoulders. But the teaching that I heard from John Shainite was, well, they had to have been in on it. But he didn't have any scripture. There was no scripture. They had to be in on it, and they buried it in the tent. I'm going to digress for just a second. Achan's family was warned in verse 13. Did you guys know that?
Which chapter?
Chapter 7, verse 13. Yehoshua is going to say, hollow the people, and thou shalt say, this is Yahweh Yehoshua, hollow yourselves tomorrow, for thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, a devoted thing is in the midst of all, O Israel. Thou can't stand before thine enemies until thou put away the devoted things from out of your midst. And then it's going to keep reading down to verse 15. And it shall be, he that is seized with the devoted thing shall what?
Be burned with fire.
And all he hath. Who heard that? Achan and his family. And it would have been in the tent. Did they speak up? You ever seen that when somebody gets caught? Somebody in this room's caught? Somebody put ketchup and shot it all across the wall in the hallway. Honestly, nothing, man. And that's what they did. They were trying to trick Yehoshua. You're not tricking Yahweh. And so when they're stoned, they knew it. They thought they could get away with it. But in verse 6, Yehoshua rips his clothes. He falls down before Yahweh. He pours out his heart, which is a good lesson. If you're going through a really, really bad thing, it is good to respectfully vent. Because Yahweh doesn't talk to Yehoshua until after he does this. Could Yahweh have showed up sent a messenger before this? Hey, you're going the wrong way. Yeah, he had a messenger show up before this, before Jericho. But here, after Yehoshua vents, we should have stayed on the other side of the river. Look at all this unbelief. This is the beginning of Yehoshua. Verse 10, somebody read verse 10.
And Yahweh said unto Yehoshua, get thee up. Wherefore is it that thou art lying upon thy face?
And the New International Version and the New Living Breathing Version says, and Yahweh put his arm around him and said, Yehoshua, don't be too hard on yourself. Nobody's perfect. Well, that's what the message says. Well, something like that, right? What did Yahweh say? Did Yahweh say, I feel it's okay? No. He rebuked him, in my opinion. Get up. And the word of promise is great at it. He's on his knees. He's ripped his clothes. He's probably crying. Is his heart right? Yes. Is he 100% committed? Are you kidding me? He went through the wars of Egypt in 40 years and here he is? Am I committed? Are you kidding me? What does Yahweh say? Get up.
What are you doing?
What does Yahweh do? He puts the bridle back on Yehoshua and goes, there's sin in the camp. How could Yahweh be so harsh? Turn to Deuteronomy 31. I didn't know this until a month ago, guys. You're reading that, you're going to go, man, it seems so harsh to me. Deuteronomy chapter 31. This is the end of Moses or Moshe's ministry. Yahweh tells Moses, you're going to die. You're going to go to sleep. Yehoshua is going to take over the ministry. Not Eleazar. Not Phinehas. Phinehas and Eleazar, they're all over the place too. Moses doesn't know until the 40th year. It is Yehoshua. Okay, yeah, I won that bet. And go to the tent of meetings, the two of you, then I'll meet you there. All right. Okay. So you can imagine Yehoshua gets summoned. Moshe says, come to the tent of meetings. Where are we going? Guys, this is the White House.
More.
Where are we going? All right. Okay. Is there anything unclean? Nothing unclean. Okay. Because there's rules about unclean and whatnot. He's going to go meet Moses. And but they're going to go into Moses. And you know what's going to happen when they go into the tent of meeting? A pillar of cloud is going to come down. Court is in session. Can you imagine what Yehoshua is going to be thinking? I'm the guy. Yes, I'm the guy. Okay, here this is. Moses is going to retire. And I don't know what was going on in Yehoshua's mind. What would you imagine Yahweh would tell you? Be strong and courageous. Subdue the land. He said that in Deuteronomy. Maybe that's what he'll tell me. He'll tell me to do that again. Okay, I'm ready to go. I'll be like a Moses. Now, somebody read verse 16.
Then said Yahweh unto Moses, lo, thou art about to sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go away unchastely after the gods of the foreigners of the land, into the midst of whom they are entering, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I solemnized with them.
Then will my anger kindle upon them. Do you think Yehoshua got goosebumps? What's getting ready to happen? A civil war. Can you imagine if you would have found out about the Democrats stealing 2020? This is what's going to happen. Whoa, wait a minute. We just came off of 4 years of prosperity. What's going on here? And so in this case here, what does Yehoshua find out? They're going to rebel as soon as he goes to sleep. Read verse 29. Somebody read that for me.
For I know that after my death, you will break faith and turn aside out of the way which I have commanded you. And calamity will befall you in the after part of the days, because you will do the thing that is wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, to provoke him with the work of your own hands.
Here's Yahweh telling Yehoshua a civil war is breaking out. You're the new guy. He's talking to Moses, and here this whole thing is going, man, okay. And so we can learn not to pick on Yehoshua, but we can learn. Right? My dad did a great teaching. He said King David always checked in before battle. Always checked in for battle. He could have learned from Yehoshua. The war, Ai, had Yehoshua checked in. Did he check in before Jericho? Anybody remember?
Yeah.
What happens?
They broke the walls down.
No, he checked in and there was a prince. The host of Yahweh shows up.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, are you for us? Are you for our adversaries? And you... I'm for neither. I never understood that, but there's a checking in right there, and what he was not ready for was Achan. He should have been, and we can, and that's why, in my opinion, I put a footnote. Deuteronomy, you were warned twice in the tent of meetings. This is going to happen. Why are you ripping your shirt, Joshua? Why are you saying you can't stand before your enemies? I told you this was going to happen. Easy for me to read that, right? How many times are you doing the same thing with your own mind? I don't even know if this is worth it. I can't do this anymore. One more thing. One more thing. You asked me to do one more thing and I quit. I would never say that out loud, for the record. But inside my mind, every once in a while, I'm asked to do one more discipline. I'm going, and I'm about ready to pop. You guys, can anybody relate to that?
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Putting my ring finger on this finger. Everybody's in trouble. That's inside family. I can relate to that. Then I thought about the Apostle Paul. After being snake bitten, after 2 weeks on the ocean or the sea in a storm, shipwrecked, and then a snake bites him, I would have been like, I quit. I would have been like, Elijah, just kill me now. I've been bit. Good. See you later. I'm just going to die. Am I dead yet? Come on, man. What did he do? The Apostle Paul shakes it off in the fire and goes, bring in your sick. What?
Yeah.
We can do that if we're disciplined up here. If you're giving Cain the reins and letting your brain and your thoughts go unbridled, then you could be walking into what Aharon did and Yehoshua. And we can look at that. Can you imagine after Achan, Yehoshua going, I did what Aaron did? How long have I been this guy? How long have I been in charge? Jericho to Ai. I don't think it was that long. And I've already repeated, not maliciously like Aaron did, but you messed up. And you're going to go, holy moly. What happens after that? He does 180, doesn't he? And Yehoshua, after that, he stops the sun, he stops the moon, he puts his feet, he rebukes the people and says, you can't serve Yahweh at the very end. You got idols in your tent. They're like, how did he see what's on my Facebook? I had that locked. You can't see what I posted. Yahweh sees everything, and that's his prophet. And the prophet says, you guys, if you don't get rid of those idols, you can't stand before it. And here he was, how did Yehoshua finish? And that's how you and I can finish. But how could he have done it? Discipline, discipline, discipline. The word, the word, the word, the word. And this whole teaching hit me yesterday. Moses, okay, oh, turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 16. So as we read about Israel rebelling against David, against Jerubbaal, against Samson, against every one of these leaders, and you're going, holy moly. Are we getting a theme here?
Yeah.
Let us apply it to our own battle. Where's the land you were supposed to conquer inside here? Your body. What have you not subdued yet? Chapter 6, what is the number of man and beast? Were they created on the sixth day? 666, the mark of the beast. Man was created on the sixth day. Dad pointed this out. So is a beast. You get to choose whether you live like man, which is the image of Elohim. That's just Ruah. Or you live like a beast. Does anybody know people that live like a beast here? Ever heard of Bill Clinton? Epstein's Island? How about Snoop Dogg? These guys who say they're Christians now, but they won't recant all the wicked things they did, those guys are beasts. Remember in Romans chapter 6, read verse 16.
Know ye not that unto whom ye are presenting yourselves as servants for obedience, servants ye are unto him unto whom ye are obedient, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness.
That's good. And the word here is doulos. Strong's number 1401. It's the same word as slave. In 2 Peter 2.19 and Romans. And so here's this word. So you can put, whoever you obey, you're a slave to. Were there slaves in Deuteronomy? And after 6 years, if they didn't want to leave their master, they say, I want to keep working because my master's good. Absolutely. They took an awl. They would have poked a thing in his ear. There's a good slave. There's a good master. We are, 2 Corinthians 5, 14-15, for the love of the Christ constraineth us, having judges that one in behalf of all died. Hence, could anybody else finish that for me?
And one in behalf died he that they who live no longer for themselves should live, but for him who...
In behalf of them.
In behalf of them. No.
Yeah, on behalf of them died and awoke. That's good. Okay. So there's a comparison contrast. Not for themselves, not for Cain. Cain, but for him. Cain had it as a reward, but for him. Be a slave. Moses was a slave to Yahweh. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Better is one day in your course than 1,000 elsewhere. Sounds great, doesn't it? Can you go 40 days with no books? Just to spend time with Yahweh? My dad did 3 days. I've never done it. Moses was content. If I got you, forget everybody else. Yes, here he was. And how did he look when he came down? You guys, you have no idea how exhausting I was. All he did was talk, 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 and I listened, I wrote things. No, he glowed. Moses glowed. And Moses was a slave. Wherever you go, I will go. Whatever you do, I will do, whether it's to battle or war, this loyal war hound like King David. I'll go wherever you want me to write a psalm, I'll write a psalm. Did you know Moses wrote psalms too? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so did David. You want me to cut somebody's head off? I'll cut their head off. What do you want me to do? I'm your guy. You want to wash some dishes? I'm the guy. 40 days he came down and he glowed. One day in your courts. And what did he do? Did Moses have Cain inside there?
Yep.
Absolutely. But he would have been so disciplined that Cain never got out. Here's my own discipline. I can't take credit for any of this because none of it was my idea. When I get up in the morning, I have to go run, and as I run, I have to pray and confess things out loud for my loved ones, the most important things. Out loud. It's a mile .7. When I get done with that, Yahweh kept adding on to this. This list got longer and longer. I got done with that, and now you gotta sing him a song. This morning I went to sing him a song, and it was really neat, because birds will come and listen. These tiny birds came up like hummingbirds. Boop, boop, boop. And then, you know what else came up to this morning? A squirrel. I've never seen a squirrel. He came over and he was like this.
He was praying for me.
And here I'm singing songs to Yahweh. I'm looking at his creation. He sends encouragement. He's there with me. After I sing a song to him, and sometimes it's not a song I'm good at. Sometimes he wants me to ad-lib, and I'll get to that again, about singing songs. After I do that, what am I supposed to do? Oh, then I get to I go read two to ten chapters. Then I take a shower and I confess healing over all my body from the top, and I go in and out. Here's all the confessions. I've sown bountifully with the Deuteronomy 28. I get done with that. Now I got to quote all my scriptures from my bathroom to my office. And I got from Genesis to Revelation, I go through every single book of the Bible, confessing every, try to go through the scriptures. It probably takes 30 to 45 minutes. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, before the shower, I do 45 minutes of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, I do stretches and abs, and Yahweh tells me who to do these abs. Whose idea was all this stuff? Not one of them's mine. I didn't want to do it. And here's what happened. I woke up, had a great day, pretty good day. And I came home that night, and I was just feeling lonely. Something wasn't right. Just something wasn't right. I don't know what it was. And be leery of that. This melancholy, it's like listening to sad music. Stay away from it. You're feeding your old man. But when you start feeling lonely, get rid of it. I didn't. Day two, last night, I come home. And I'm still kind of feeling like something's lonely. Something's just not right. And Yahweh will have me sing. So I sing, give him a song at night too. And then he'll say, here's the melody. And then he starts putting words. And he gave this song to me maybe 2 months ago or a month ago. But as I was feeling lonely back then too, the words came out, reproof out of my own mouth in melody. I'm feeling so alone. I'm living in a 4,000 square foot house. I own my own business. I got two legs, two arms. I live in the United States. I'm a part of the most powerful Bible fellowship there is on the planet. I got the best life ever. I always feel so lonely. Something's not right. And the song came out, how could I ever be anything but thankful? And as those words came out, I was like, I felt strength. Next word, how could I be anything but grateful? And as those words came out, I got a flash on my whole life, how blessed I am. Therefore, how could I be anything but faithful to you? This song came out, and so I've been kind of working on it, and then last night, work on this song again. I'm like, okay, I'm getting kind of good with this melody a little bit. I'm getting happy with it. Not for anybody else, it's just me and the audience of one, and his son. As I was doing it, I got another urge. Go into storytelling. Where did this song come from? What is it? And I went, well, I was feeling lonely or this and that, and as I started singing about being lonely, do what he said? You gave your flesh the reins. Mm-hmm. And I went, I know exactly what that meant when Aaron gave the reins and Moses corrected him. And how did it work? Through singing a song. And I sat there and I gave my flesh the reins. How did I give my flesh the reins? My morning routine, which is not my own, is 2 to 3 hours. Guess who doesn't get a chance to do anything? I don't get a chance to think. I'm so busy. I gotta run. I gotta go through lists. I gotta pray. I gotta sing them a song. I gotta read these scriptures. After the scriptures, I gotta speak in tongues. I gotta confess these things. Then I gotta go through all these things. And the adversary, my adversary, Cain, doesn't get any room. I believe that Aaron or Aharon was like a substitute teacher who walked into a room that wanted to be everybody's friend. Yeah. Hey guys! What's happening? I'm wearing some hip jeans, and all the rest of the teenagers are like, oh, this is going to be easy. And instead of a drill sergeant, when you're walking into a room, when I started coaching football, every kid's going to test you. It's your job to be consistent. If you don't want to be tested, don't be a teacher. Don't be a coach. They're going to test you. If you're going to be a parent, they're going to test you. Oh, it sounded catchy until I was the one being tested. I wanted to. Stupid kid! Why'd you do this to me, man? I was having a great day. But when we'd walk on, when we started coaching football at the worst program in the state of Kansas, the kids got to do whatever they wanted. My mentor in the coaching room, when he walked in, he had a whistle and he spoke with a booming voice as if he was a drill sergeant and you were getting ready to be deployed for Vietnam. And he demanded attention and the kids didn't have a chance. They blow it. Get up! 5 minutes! My time! And they're like, holy smokes! And the kids run out. Then we show up. And he didn't tell me to do this. I've got to watch. It's consistency. Consistency. And then he taught me, idle time is the devil's playground. You cannot let kids have idle time. And he was talking, what he was talking about, the context, is locker rooms, classrooms. Have you ever seen what can happen in a classroom when the teacher's not in there? There's huge lawsuits. Mm-hmm. And what he was teaching me, and if you're disciplined, the kids actually get to be kids and they relax. And I believe Aaron was a substitute teacher, but how many times are we the substitute teacher when we're just letting our thoughts entertain? Yeah. I wonder why I feel like this way. I wonder if it's because I was abandoned. I wonder if it's because I got hurt that one time. I wonder if it was because this, you rebuked that, you put the reins back on there, or you could learn a lesson like Joshua or like Aharon. Don't mess with Cain. Don't mess with the old man. Discipline him. Turn to Psalm. Did we do Psalms 119 already? I think we did.
No.
Psalm 119. Yeah. Psalm 119. And I believe this is how Moses did it, and I believe this is how the Apostle Paul did it. I believe it's how David did it. They walk in and this is business. Can anybody think of a scripture when Samuel came to town? Hey, it's Samuel! Hey, what's happening? We're shaking. They went, what did they say?
Oh, he's here.
Peacefully?
Do you come peacefully?
Yeah.
That demanded respect, like a prophet. You are to be the own prophet in your own head.
Yeah.
Discipline, good. Discipline, discipline, discipline. You don't give it 1 inch. You don't give it 1 centimeter. And like a dog, you got to discipline. Say no, and you kick it. You do whatever you got to do to make it unprofitable. And my own man. Oh my gosh, my Cain is so diabolical. He slips in, and all of a sudden I'm stressing out about somebody again. It's the same person, and they got to do this right, and they got to do that right here. And all of a sudden I got, what are you doing? Well, this person's the problem. Are you helping that person? No. What are the odds when you want to vent on somebody, it's the same person, and this is me in my own head. You're the problem. You're letting your old man run things again. Well, no, I was going a good way. No, you weren't. You're picking on somebody. What do I got to do? Okay, this happened to me today. Okay, when he pops up again, he's not the problem. I've let the reins off a wild animal. I said, every time he does pop up in my head again, instead of being irritated, I'm going to speak in tongues for him. How you like them apples? Ha! Okay, the 19 verse 33. Did somebody read that?
Point out to me, O Yahweh, the way of thy statutes, that I may observe it unto the end.
This is Yahweh's scriptures. It's the Word. You can do everything He's called you to do. You can't control everybody, but you can control yourself. And you will be held accountable for yourself. And some of the biggest messes, some of our biggest messes are in our own lives. Yeah. Now, I might look disciplined, I look dry cleaned, I look trimmed, but Yahweh's not fooled. What's going on up here? Are you controlling your thoughts? Is it productive? And if you incorporate really disciplined regimens, and almost all my disciplined regimens came from my family. My mom walked 6 hours or 6 miles a day praying for people. Are you kidding me? My dad, the retimerate cards, reading scriptures, running every morning. I remember one time I went to the gym, and there was a pastor's son and another kid came up to me because I like to work out and I like to flex my muscles, and that's my thing. Look at your muscles. He's like, yeah, that's my neighbor. Yeah, he goes, oh, that's your neighbor. He goes, yeah, his dad runs every morning. I was waiting for the school bus. It was snowy out and it was covered in ice. And I was thinking, there's no way he's running this morning. I went, and then he came out and he ran on the ice. And the other teenager's like, are you serious? And I went, well, he has to. He's praying. And they look at me and they look at each other. It was really neat because one of the other guys I was going to get to minister to, he's a pastor's son. What a good example for him. But guess who wasn't running in the morning?
Yeah.
Me. So you surround yourself with more disciplined people, and if you don't have more disciplined people in your sphere, find them.
Yeah.
We all get one shot of this life. It's an audition. And with this last scripture, with the Psalm 119, what is Yahweh? It's His Word. It's His Word. It's His Word. It's His Word. And if you don't have the Word inside you, you can't correct mistakes.
Yeah.
How many times had you never heard a scripture? And then once you heard a scripture, you're going, holy moly, I didn't even know about that. And all of a sudden it sets things free. But you meditate day and night. Father, we thank you for helping us master ourselves, for helping us discipline ourselves so nobody else has to. Thank you that we can be a master of ourself to glorify you, specifically our thinking. Can we control our thoughts? That Moses, why 40 days on the mountain, he was not worried about things like Meribah, or things, how many rebellions had already happened. He was focused on you. And your word says, seek ye first his rule and his righteousness. Thank you, Father, for helping us focus on the manna you give us each day. Thank you for helping us focus on the clouds you've given us each day. And to say, and let us actually be, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And when we don't feel it, let us speak it till we believe it. Because your scriptures say, you shall have what you sayeth. Your scriptures say, faith comes by hearing the spoken words, rhema. Your scripture says, I believe, therefore I speak. So if we don't feel it, let us speak it till we do feel it. And when we don't feel it, let it be something that be a red alarm, check a engine, stop everything and start confessing your scriptures so that we can put the wild animal back in its pins before a really big mess gets out and so that we can honor you. Amen.
Hallelujah.